Daniel's 70 weeks of prophecy. And I'd like to try to bring some things to you today concerning the 70 weeks that God revealed to Daniel. And first of all, I'd like to say that Daniel did not prophesy anything concerning the church. Daniel simply prophesied concerning the Jews and also concerning the worldwide empires that history proves that really took place exactly like Daniel prophesied that it would be. But the book of Revelation deals somewhat with the church, and these two books, they go hand in hand. The book of Daniel and also the book of Revelation. They run parallel in their prophecies concerning both Jew, Gentile, and the church. Now this message from the Lord regarding the 70 weeks was born out of great travail of the soul of Daniel. Now, Daniel was a captive in the land of Babylon. And Jeremiah the prophet had prophesied that they would be in captivity for 70 years. For 70 years. And Daniel knew that these 70 years was almost up. And he was very concerned about the future of Israel. He was very concerned about the people that were still in captive in Babylon. And he began to pray. He began to seek God. And from the travail of his soul, as he was praying about the future of his own people that were still captive in the land of Babylon, God gave him the vision of the truth of the 70 weeks that God had determined upon his own people. Now, I want to impress that. Upon his own people, the Jews, not the church. There is a distinction between the Jewish nation and the church. However, when a Jew gets converted and comes to the Lord, and he comes into the church, in the sight of God, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. That is in the church. But we must admit that there is a nation that we call Israel. And it's a recognized nation. It's not a cast-off nation as far as world powers are concerned. It's a recognized nation, and it belongs to the family of nations in the world. Well, at the same time, there is a spiritual body. There is a church. And Christ is the head of the church, the body. The church is the body, and the body is the church. Now, the church is in the world, but the church is not of the world. That's the distinction between the nation Israel and the church. We must admit that God has a earthly people. That's the Jewish nation. Then there is a spiritual people that belongs to him, which is the church. Now the scripture said that by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile. We all baptized into one body, and that constitutes the church. Now, we would all profit by understanding that the way to get an answer from God, get the answer like Daniel got. The scripture said that he prayed earnestly. If we could understand that the earnest prayer will always accomplish what you want it to accomplish, if it is the will of God. Now, if everybody could understand that these little good night prayers that a lot of people pray, you might as well be drinking a tab as expecting to get any answer from that kind of prayer. The kind of prayer that God honors is a prayer that is prayed in sincerity and in earnestness. And Daniel was that kind of a man. He prayed. Now, we could all profit from this if we would take it to heart. Now, Daniel prayed, and Gabriel, the messenger from God, appeared with God's answer. Now, Gabriel is mentioned four times in the Bible. Two times in Daniel and two times in the Gospel according to St. Luke. His name is mentioned four times in the Bible. Luke chapter 1 and verse 19, the scripture says that Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. Gabriel announced the birth of Jesus and also the birth of John the Baptist. And the scripture said that this angel is the one that stands in the presence of God. Now the 70 weeks, as Daniel was praying very earnestly and sincerely about the future of his people, he knew the 70 years of captivity was about up, and as he was praying concerning the future of his own people, then the angel Gabriel appeared to him, and in the vision he saw the 70 weeks. Now this 70 weeks gives us an insight into the timeline of God's prophetic projection of the end time. If we could only grasp what the Lord is trying to tell us here, we'd all understand the coming of the Lord is much nearer than we have ever thought it to be. Now notice the unanswered questions are addressed, and the confusion where certain events will take place are placed in their own proper order. You see, God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. Everything in this Bible is in perfect order. This is God's revealed mind to man. When you want to hear from God, read His Word, and you'll hear from God. This is the message to man. His Word is His revealed message to mankind. Now, all of this is put into order in the Word of God. Now, Daniel was a man who had encounters with God. He had many encounters with God. And from these encounters came prophetic revelations. In our day, that tell us of the happening of the past and what we can expect in the future. That's God's way of doing business. When I pick up this Bible and read a prophecy that has already been fulfilled, then I can put my trust in this book, knowing in my heart, with all the faith that I have, that everything He has prophesied for the future will be fulfilled exactly like all the things that has already been fulfilled. So I don't doubt the Bible. I do not doubt one thing in this book, I believe, ever did ever. And if I don't understand it all, I still believe it. I haven't seen the Lord yet. I haven't been to heaven yet. But when I pick up my Bible and I can read in history that these things have come to pass like God said they would, then I have great faith for the future, that everything will take place exactly like He said it would take place. Now the 70 weeks, the most important prophecies of the book of Daniel. 70 weeks. The 70 weeks tells of the future of Israel, from the end of their captivity in Babylon till the time of the end, when Daniel's people shall accept Jesus Christ as their one true and living God. Notice, prophets had prophesied that Israel would be in captivity for 70 years. Now, Daniel knew this. He was a student of prophecy. Now, they were nearing the end of the 70 years. And Daniel, very much concerned about the future of his own people, was praying, and God gave him the revelation of the 70 weeks of prophecy. And if I can establish the fact about the 70 weeks, then we'll have no trouble in knowing when the rapture will come, what's going to take place after the rapture. And I do believe in the rapture of the church. I'm a church preacher. I love to preach about the church. But Christ has not left His church in this world to suffer forever. He's going to come after His church. Now notice, God showed Daniel at the end of the 70 years of captivity, the 70 weeks would begin. Now get this carefully. God showed Daniel at the end of the 70 years of captivity in Babylon, the 70 weeks would begin. The 70 weeks are divided into three areas of history and prophecy. The 70 weeks are divided into three segments. And if you noticed the lesson that you read, and I trust you did, now the three segments are these. First, there was 7 weeks. Secondly, there was 62 weeks. That means that 62 plus 7 is 69. Then the third segment is 1 week. It's divided into three segments or three divisions. First, 7 weeks. Secondly, 62 weeks. Thirdly, 1 week. So 7 weeks plus 62 weeks is 69 weeks plus 1 week is 70 weeks. So we are looking at 70 weeks. Now he said 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Not the church, not the Gentiles, upon thy people. That is the Jews. Daniel was a Jew. Upon thy people, 70 weeks has been determined. Now, notice this carefully. These 70 weeks are prophetical years. And that's the key that unlocks the mystery. It's not calendar days or weeks like we would think, just casually reading. But the 70 weeks are 70 prophetical years. Now let me turn back to Numbers chapter 14 and verse 34. I like to prove that on more than one occasion that God likened a day for a year. Now let's see in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 34. In dealing with Israel when they came out of Egypt. After the number of the days in which you searched the land, even 40 days, each year, or each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. Now you see, I want you to notice what he likens here. They searched out the land 40 days. Now he said, each of these 40 days will be a year that you're going to wander in the wilderness. So he likens one day as a year. Now let me go to Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 6. Still proving this. Also you shall bear the iniquity of Judah 40 days. I have appointed these each day for years. Now you see, what I'm trying to prove to you is that he has appointed these things, that each day is a year. Now the original, the 70 weeks are 70 sevens. The 70 weeks are prophetical years, which means 77. Now you multiply 7 by 70 and you get 490 years. It's just as simple as that. But you have to put your head in the book to understand these things. You see, prophecy is not a fly-by-night thing. It's real. I said prophecy is real. And when you distort prophecy out of your thinking, then you really don't know where to put these things. This is why I believe with everything in me that I can believe with that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back with his church. And it may be sooner than we think. Now, 70 times 70 is 490. Each a year, making 490 years. Each day a year, 70 times 7 is 490 years. Now the 70 weeks are only for Jewish history, not the church. Now notice, the 70 weeks are only for Jewish history and its relationship to the Gentile world, and not for the Gentiles or the church. It's just the world out there and the Jewish nations. 70 weeks has nothing to do with the church. It's only to the Jews. Now, if I can make myself clear here, I'm going to get on down here in a little bit, and I'll prove something else to you. If I can get myself clear and make your thinking become clear, we'll understand that the 70 weeks was for Daniel's people. Now, determine 70 weeks upon your people, God said. Now, let's divide the segments that I talked about, and let's see where we are. Number one. The 7 weeks refers to the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was to be rebuilt in troublesome times. 7 weeks was a period of 49 years. 7 times 7 is 49. Now then, the 62 weeks began after Jerusalem was rebuilt. That's a period of 434 years. The 62 weeks from the rebuilding of Jerusalem to the time Christ would come and would be cut off in death. We read that in our lesson. So at the end of these 62 weeks, Christ was cut off. You add the 7 weeks that it took to rebuild Jerusalem plus the 62 weeks from the time that the building was finished until Christ came and was cut off in death. That means 69 weeks of Daniel's 70 weeks has been fulfilled. Now, what about the 70th week or the last week? Now, when you put 62 weeks plus the 7 weeks is 69 weeks or 483 years. Now, that's all history. It's already been fulfilled. That's all history. 483 years. History proves exactly what I'm talking about here today. Now that leaves one more week to be fulfilled somewhere in prophecy. That means a period of 7 years. Now bear in mind the 70 weeks has nothing to do with the church, strictly for the Jews. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, the Jews. Now, 1 week is yet to be fulfilled. Christ, when he was cut off in death, that brought to a close 69 weeks of Daniel's 70 weeks of prophecy. Now, Christ was cut off. Now we have before us what we call the gap theory. When Christ was cut off in death, then the next event that took place was his burial, his resurrection, and the establishment of the New Testament church. Now, he built a church. He laid a foundation. He built a church. He's the head of it. He's the builder. He's the foundation. And one day he shall return for that which he established and built upon himself. And that's the church. There is a distinction between the Jewish nation and the church. The Jews are natural people. The church is spiritual people. That's the difference. And God is still a friend of the Jews, but he has really let them go under the rod of correction because they rejected him. Now, this gap between the 69th week and the 70th week, when the 69th week comes to a close at his death, then at the close of the church age, the 70th week will begin in the book of Revelation, known as the Great Tribulation Period. Now, you just hold on a little bit here. That's known as the gap theory. See, there is a period of near 2,000 years between the close of the 6th to 9th week and the beginning of the 70th week. 6 to 9 weeks are history. This 70th week, or the last week of his prophecy, is still prophecy to be fulfilled in the future. Now, this is the gap theory. You see, the church has filled up the gap. The church. And some, they put no stress upon the church. None whatsoever. You know what the Bible said about the church? that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the body. That means He's the Savior of the church. Well, the Bible said He gave Himself for the church, that He might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You talk about something that ought to make people shout is to think about the church. You know, here's the trend of the age. Go to the church of your choice. Fine, if you choose the right one. How many arks did Noah build? What for? For the saving of his family, is what the Bible said. And I cannot picture that there were big billboards all over the country saying in the time of Noah, go to the church, go to the ark of your choice. I just don't believe that. Go to the ark of your choice. It wasn't but one. It was either get in the ark or drown. It's either get in the church or be lost forever. That's exactly what this Bible is teaching me here today. Get in the church or be lost. Now notice, the seventh week will begin in Revelation chapter 6. It's a tribulation period. Did you know that the prophet Jeremiah, in talking about the tribulation period, you know what he called it? The time of Jacob's trouble. That's the trouble of Israel, not the church. Somebody told me some time ago the reason the church would have to go through the tribulation would be for the perfecting of the saints. I said, what about all the saints that's already dead? You mean they're not perfect? Well, that stumped him. He said, I hadn't thought about that. You see, that's the trouble with people. They don't think. Did you know that tribulation will not perfect the individual? God set a ministry in the church. Now, this is what the Bible said. God set a ministry in the church for the perfecting of the saints. And if people won't listen to preaching, they'll never be made perfect. You've got to listen to preaching. As bad as some folks hate preaching. You just say, well, to buckle up your seat belts and say, preach to me. You've got to help preaching to live. It's good to shout, but when you settle down, someone's got to preach to you. Thank you for that one, amen. Beautiful. Thank you for that one. Glory. Wonderful. The church age. Now, notice this carefully. It's a time of Jacob's trouble. Nothing to do with the church. I'm trying to show you the entire 70 weeks had nothing to do with the church. And the last week, which is the 70th week, has nothing to do with the church. It's dealing with rebellious Jews and sinful Gentiles in the tribulation period, not the church. Now, the church age. When Christ was rejected by His own people, who did He turn to get a people? The Gentiles. Of course, everybody realizes that. He turns to the Gentiles to get a people for His name. Now, the church age was not revealed to Daniel. The church age was not a part of Daniel's prophecy. He's dealing strictly with the Jews. And if you can get that in your thinking today, you will leave here with a better understanding than when you came here. Daniel was used of God to tell of the future of the nation of Israel. Israel became a nation of her own in the year of 1948. Now, at the close of the church age, God will turn again to the Jews. Revelation is not so hard to understand. The reason some folks don't understand it, they're too lazy to dig into it. Really. Chapter 1 introduces the book. Chapters 2 and 3 contains the seven letters that John wrote to the seven churches. And these seven churches represent periods of time from the establishment of the church on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem until the rapture of the church or the coming of the Lord. Now then, had you ever stopped to think, have you ever noticed carefully, when the curtain comes down on chapter 3, and rises on chapter 4, there's a voice heard like the voice of a trumpet. That's the rapture. John was projected into the future, and he saw it as if the rapture was taking place right then. Chapters 4 and 5 are scenes in heaven. When the curtain comes down on chapter 3, the church is seen no more on earth. You can't find it nowhere. Oh, somebody said, I see in the Bible, after what you call the rapture, the Bible mentions saints. You turn back to the book of Job and it mentions saints. In every dispensation, anybody that walked in all the life they had, they were called saints. Now, notice this carefully. Carefully, please give me your mind for a little while longer. Now, the church is raptured in chapter 4. The rest of chapter 4 and all of chapter 5 are scenes in heaven. Then the seal is open in chapter 6. And the rider comes out on a white horse. Why, some people are preaching that that was Jesus Christ. Why in the world would Jesus Christ want to leave his wife in heaven and come down and get on a white horse and start riding as the opening of the first seal in the book of Revelation? That's the Antichrist. He's an imposter. He's an imitator. He rode a white horse. Now here is what he had. He had a bow, but no arrow. The Bible said he'll take the kingdom by flattery. He'll come in with a cry of peace on his lips. And if a world ruler would stand up today, or some great man would stand up today and tell you that he had an answer for all the problems of this world, everybody would look in his direction. That's exactly what he's going to tell them when he comes out on the white horse in Revelation chapter 6. He's going to say, hey, I've got the answer. I noticed back a year or so ago where they were going to reveal a man. Full-page ads appeared in the newspapers across the nation. But somehow they had to postpone his revelation. I'll tell you, it's as simple as it can be. The Antichrist cannot be revealed until that hindering force has been taken out of the way. And that hindering force is the church of the living God. He just can't come until the church is gone. And that's why I'm preaching on the rapture. Because I believe it. Praise God! Now notice this carefully. Daniel was used to tell of the future of the nation Israel. 1948, Israel was recognized as a nation. At the close of the church age, then he will turn to the Jews. After his church has been raptured, then he will begin to deal with the Jews. Now notice, the church raptured just prior to the beginning of the 70th week, or the last 1 week, which constitutes the period of 7 years. The 7 years. There will be at least 7 years from the rapture of the church until the return of the Lord when he comes back in chapter 19, not to get his church, but to fight the battle of Armageddon. If you doubt it, read Revelation chapter 19. He's coming back seated on a white charger. And all the nations are going to be gathered together to make war against him. And the sword that proceeds out of his mouth, he's going to smite the nations. And the Bible said he's going to rule them with a rod of iron. Now the 7 years. Now notice, five things very important will happen after the rapture. Now to you that's going to be left, I want to tell you what's going to happen to you. You're not going to be taken into the rapture because of who you are. You're going to be taken in the rapture because of the truth that you have obeyed from your heart. I want to give you five things that's going to happen after the rapture. First, there'll be a world government. A world government. There'll be a world law. One world power. A world leader. Very strong in character and personality. He will head up this attractive world system. Now, he's been called many things in the Bible. And let me give you nine things that the Bible calls this world leader or the Antichrist. Number one, he's called the little horn. Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, and chapter 8, verses 9 through 12. He's called the king of fierce countenance. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23. Number three, he's called the prince that shall come. Daniel 9, 26. Number four, he is called the willful king. Daniel 11, 36. Number five, he's called the man of sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. He's called the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Number seven, he's called the wicked one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. He's called the Antichrist. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. He's called the beast in Revelation chapter 13 and the first two verses. Nine things he's been called in the Word of God. Why, somebody said the Antichrist will never come. All of these things that you're talking about, the Antichrist will never come. Oh, yes, he will. And the reason I know he will come is because the Scripture teaches me he will come. The Antichrist will be revealed, but he cannot be revealed until that hindering cause has been taken out of the way. And that hindering cause is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now then, something else is going to happen. Immediately, he's going to make a covenant at the beginning of the 70th week with Israel. He's going to need Israel. He's going to need the Jews. Jewish worship will be restored. And they will think now that this Antichrist is Jesus Christ. You know the reason they didn't accept Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago? It's because he didn't come on a charger to throw the yoke of the Romans off of their necks and to establish Israel. While they went so far as to ask Jesus, will you establish or will you bring into being the kingdom at this time? He said, it's not for you to know. When they rejected him, he had to fill up this gap with a church. And that church is his body, it's his bride, and one day he shall return for it. And when he makes this covenant with the Jewish nation, the Jewish worship will be restored, and they will think, surely, this is whom we have waited for. Now, there will be two witnesses that will appear on the scene. And they are going to be preaching and witnessing the gospel of the kingdom. Now, what I'm going to say right now might really surprise a lot of you. But we are not preaching the gospel of a literal kingdom at this time. We're preaching the gospel of a spiritual kingdom. All in Revelation, after the rapture, they're going to be preaching the gospel of a literal established kingdom of God on earth. That's what the Bible is teaching here. And these two witnesses will appear. And they'll begin to witness. And that's going to cause the fury of the Antichrist against these two men. They're going to kill them. They're going to lay in the streets for 3 days and a half. Then that resurrecting power is going to come in their bodies and they're going to be raised. And these two witnesses, now there's quite a bit of confusion as to who they are. But to my way of thinking and the best that I can get from the Bible, these two witnesses simply Moses and Elijah, because Moses represents the law and Elijah the prophets. Moses represents the dead saints and Elijah, he represents the living saints. And so these two will come back. You see, they appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I honestly believe that these will be the two men, Moses and Elijah. Now then, the third thing, in the middle of the week, the covenant that they made with the Antichrist will be broken in the middle of the week. Now the Antichrist will set himself up as God, and he will desire to be worshipped. Men will be compelled to worship him. And in this last week, which is made up of 7 years, there's what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. You haven't seen anything yet. The great tribulation. It begins with the opening of the seals in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1. Then there's a time of prosperity for a while, and the covenant is made, and then in the middle of the week it's broken, and then all the fury of the Antichrist is turned against the Jews, and then there's a period of great tribulation. Notice this carefully. There's the trumpets, there are the vials, and there are the seals. The seals of Revelation, the trumpets of Revelation, and the vials of Revelation. There will be hunger, there will be famines, the water will be turned into blood, hailstones will fall upon the people that will weigh up to 100 pounds, and over half of the world's population will be destroyed. That's what you're going to face if you miss the rapture. I have a message for those that's going to be lost. If you can't come to God in a church like this, when the gospel is being preached, you won't come to God in the tribulation period. And you better listen to me real carefully today. Now then, what will happen? The scripture said like this, tread in the winepress and wrath of Almighty God. I saw a winepress. I looked at it and I put my hands on it in the Holy Land. Exactly what this Bible is talking about. In Bible times, they had a winepress. It was a contraption that was made that had a handle up here, and they would get into this wine press. They'd put all the grapes in the wine press. They'd pull their shoes off, and they'd hold to this contraption up here, and they'd walk back and forth while they mashed all the juice out of the grapes. Now, this is what the Bible said. In that day, it will be the wine press, the fierceness, and the wrath of Almighty God. And when this comes, the battle of Armageddon will be fought, and the blood will run up to the horse's bridle. That's the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. You haven't seen anything yet. You wait till these things begin to come to pass. And you'll wish to your God that you could sit in a place like this one more time and listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen. Number 5. Now, Jesus comes at the close of the 70th week, which is the close of the 1 week, the 7 years of period of time from the rapture to the coming of the Lord. Now, you can say Christ is coming twice, or you can say there are two stages to His coming. The first time He shall appear, His feet won't touch the earth in a place. He's just coming like a high-powered magnet across the world. The dead in Christ are going to come forth first. Then the living saints will be translated or changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. We'll go up to meet the Lord in the air. We'll go immediately to the judgment seat of Jesus Christ to get the rewards that we have done for Him in the kingdom on earth. Then after that, we'll just have a great time praising the Lord. And then, in chapter 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb. The banquet in the sky. Brother, you ain't never seen nothing like this. I've been to some of these high-powered banquets, you know. Some of these high-powered banquets. Artillery just laying everywhere. Your knives, your forks, your spoons, and they serve you cosmoné and all that kind of stuff, you know. That's a little soup with a little rice in the bottom of it, you know. And now you've got to be so particular how you eat. Just everything is so-so. But listen, up there it's going to be the banquet in the sky. All the saints to be arrayed in white linen, fine and clean. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then the Bible said in Revelation 19, now this will bring the last week, the 70th week, this 7 year period to a close. Then Christ will appear. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him. That's the raptured saints. First He's coming for His saints. Then He's coming back with His saints. Somebody will say that they have a one-way ticket. They're not coming back. I have a round-trip ticket. I'm going up and I'm coming back. I'm going up and I'm coming back. Now you note this carefully. These are the 5 things that's going to happen. treading the winepress of wrath of Almighty God. Then he appears. The whole world will see him. And then when the Jews look upon him of whom they have pierced, they'll say, "Where did you get these wounds?" He'll say, "This is what I got in the house of my friends." And they will mourn for him. They will accept him. Then they will know that the Antichrist has deceived them. Then they will accept the real Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Then they'll realize who their Savior really was. Now, I'm not going to have time to. I really wanted to get to the other part here. I only have about 3 or 4 minutes. And just let me give you the 6-fold things that will happen because of the prophecy of the 490 years or the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy. Now, there are 6 things that's going to happen when Christ appears the second time with his saints to fight the battle of Armageddon. Number 1 is to finish the transgression. Transgression means rebellion. The nation rebelled against their creator. They rebelled against him. They were sent to Babylon in captivity, and on it goes. But the Redeemer shall come in Zion, and unto them that turn from the transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. So the finishing of the transgression will only be accomplished when the Redeemer comes to Zion. And that's when he comes back at the end of the 70th week of the 7-week period of the 7 years in the book of Revelation. He'll come back and his feet on that day will stand upon the Mount of Olives. Number 2 is to make an end of sin. The sins of Israel against the mercy of God will be ended. They will accept the redemption of the Savior who will forgive them of their sins. They should have done it in the beginning, but they didn't. Number 3, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Israel's greatest sin, referred to here as iniquity, was because she rejected Jesus Christ. But the merciful Christ will forgive the Israelites because of Calvary, even though they turned him away at that time. Number 4, to bring in everlasting righteousness. The kingdom age. Listen. The kingdom age, that's 1,000 years of peaceful reign on earth, plus the new earth period. I wish I had time to get on the new earth, the inhabitants of the new earth, who's going to live on the new earth, and this 1,000 years of peaceful reign on earth. You see, he's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. Israel's king will come. They reject him, but he's going to come now, and they will be restored. They will become, under God, the predominant nation of the earth. The 1,000 years of peace on this earth will be a great time for Israel. Number 5, to seal up the vision and prophecy. Jesus Christ will set up his kingdom on earth after he defeats the Antichrist and the armies of the world at Armageddon. Israel will be restored to her place of blessing in God's kingdom with her transgression, her sin, and iniquity forgiven. The vision and prophecy will run the course needed, and when finished, they will be sealed up. No more need for them. Number 6, to anoint the Most Holy. Now, here's a good closing point. There's no mention of this being done at the dedication of Solomon's temple or the later temple after it was restored. Notice carefully. Ezekiel 41 describes a beautiful temple that would be built for this 1,000 years of reign on earth. During the 1,000 reign of Jesus Christ upon the earth, this temple will house the throne room of the King of Kings. There will be no need for the ark with the mercy seat for the dwelling of God, but Jesus himself will be there. So they'll have no need for the ark, no need for the mercy seat, because